Can you hear us?
Or do I?
Okay, or not.
I can hear you.
Perfect. All right, you ready?
All right, let's go ahead and call our regular meeting to order. Roll call.
Murphy?
Here.
Bucko?
Here.
Terry?
Yes.
King?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stuber?
Here.
Hey, go ahead and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And we welcome you to remain standing if you choose while we pray. Lord, we thank you for wisdom. We thank you for your guidance as we hear the issues, as we tackle the financial and social and everything in between of the Village of Tolono. So, Father, we don't take our positions lightly. We ask you to guide us in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, the first part of our meeting is going to be a public hearing to refinance bonds that are issued to the village. So we'll open the meeting inside the meeting. All right. So, well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The hearing will come to order. Let the record reflect that this is a public hearing being held pursuant to the requirements of Section 10 and 20 of the Bond Issue Notification Act of the State of Illinois. As amended, the Act, notice of this hearing was published on September 22nd, 2020 in the News Gazette newspaper. Being a newspaper of general circulation in the village, this is a hearing regarding a plan to issue not to exceed $4,300,000 in aggregated principal amount of the village's general obligation refunding bonds. Series 2020. The proceeds of the bonds will be used to current refund and restructure outstanding debt certificates, Series 2015, and promissory notes, Series 2017, of the village, each issued to finance capital improvements within the village, and pay certain costs of issuance of the bonds. In addition, the 2012 general obligation bonds will be refinanced. The bonds will be issued by the village in accordance with the provisions of Section 15 of the Local Government Debt Reform Act of the State of Illinois as amended and shall constitute a general obligation of the village payable from principal proceeds received by the village from time to time from certain increment taxes derived from the village's equitable tax increment financing redevelopment project area, which is the TEF area, in which prior projects located arising under Section 511-74.4-8 of the TEF Act of the State of Illinois as amended, and ad verum taxes of the village for which it is its full faith and credit have been irrevocably pledged, unlimited as the rate or amount. The public hearing is required by Sections 10 and 20 of the Act. At the time of place set for the village for the public hearing, residents, taxpayers, and other interested parties will be given the opportunity to express their views for or against the proposed plan of financing the issuance of the bonds and the purpose of the issuing of the bonds. So is there anybody wishing to submit written comments? Do we have any written comments? No written comments? Okay. All right. We don't have any written comments. We're asking taxpayers, residents, and other interested persons attending this hearing and desiring an opportunity to express their views for or against the proposed bonds to please stand so they maybe have an opportunity to make these comments or statements. Does anybody have any comments or statements? No? Okay. All right, so if we don't have any public comment, is there any comment from the board? Okay. This concludes the public hearing regarding the plan to issue not to exceed $4,300,000 general obligation refinancing bonds, Series 2020. Let the record reflect this public hearing was concluded at 6:35 p.m. on October 6, 2020.
All right. There you go.
All right. You guys have anything else to add?
Are we done?
I think we're done, unless you guys have something to add.
All right. Thanks. I don't think so.
Well, thank you very much. As I stumble over my words. All right. Any public comments for the regular meeting? No? Cool. All right. Reports, engineering.
Good evening.
We've had a change in our representative.
Yes. So as some of you may know, Tim Cowan is going to move on to be the Public Works Director for the City of Urbana. So my name is Terry Boyer. I've been here, I think one time before. So I'll take over the lead from Tim and helping you guys out with the engineering stuff for the village. So just a quick update on the project plan. So we submitted IEPA SRF loan, or I should say SRF project plans for both the water system and the wastewater system improvements. The wastewater one was submitted in the middle of August. So we did receive from the IEPA the receipt letter. So that's now been assigned a loan number, and we can move forward with the loan type activities and design type activities kind of at the discretion of the village. The water system project plan was submitted middle of September, so we have not received yet the loan number or the receipt from IEPA on that. But in general, the next big action items would be to start moving through the loan process and the design process. And in a typical project, this kind of timing, the loan approval, I should say the facility plan approval from IPA needs to happen by March 31st of next year, which then would get you on the intended use plan for July 1st of next year. So there's a number of things that have to happen. The big thing for them will be the environmental clearances. So that will be some of the things that they're working on. We've submitted all the clearance letters. Those clearances will come in. They'll do what's called a preliminary environmental impact determination. That may take them 2 or 3 months to get to that point, and then there may be a public hearing for that. Both of these sets of projects will probably have the, that's what we call the PEED, if I use an abbreviation. Sometimes we can get away with the categorical exclusion, but since for both projects we're kind of outside of the fence lines of known improvements, we'll have to go through probably the more formal process for that. So that will be coming. The other big, I guess, ticket item would be the debt authorizing ordinances for both of those. You know, so those are a pretty big deal to have to get, you know, work through your attorney, get that in front of the board here, and then get that going for IEPA. So in a typical kind of a time frame, I'd be hoping in the month of October to get you a draft markup of the authorizing ordinances so you can review them, have your attorney look at them, and then you'll have them for discussion and action either at a November meeting or a December meeting. And there's certain notification requirements. It's got to go in the paper. You may have gone down this road before and be familiar with that. But so there's a little bit of a time issue with that. And then at the same time, we should be working on the loan application, which is just all the rigmarole and documentation that we need to put together for the loan, including your financial stuff. If we can get that in December, that gives them plenty of time to be looking at it. The biggest thing on their end will be the financial review that they'll do. That could happen anywhere between January and June, so that's not contingent on getting the facility plan approval. So intended use plan, I mentioned, comes out July 1st. So sometime, you know, we'd be available to advertise the project for construction in July or August timeframe or September, depending on how they get through their process. Sometimes they lag a little bit after July 1st as they're closing loans and opening up new loans. So in an ideal world, then we'd like in December timeframe to get going, and we would typically think about doing preliminary design. so at like a 30 to 40% of the overall design fee amount. That helps us get our wrap our arms around the cost early in the process and report back to you if we see any major glitches in our planning level cost estimates, or sometimes we don't get all the details that we would hope to have during planning level. And we can identify that, make sure everything's okay, and then move into final design in that April to July timeframe. So that's kind of the update, and just to remind everybody, there's water system improvements that are on the order of $1.1 million, and then the wastewater is the big one in the $12 million range, you know, for the three major components of that facility plan. So I think that's the key update on those two items. I don't think we've given you a proposal yet on the risk and resilience assessment and ERP for your water system. That requirement is a EPA mandated requirement that you have to have the RRA completed by June 30 next year, and then the ERP by the end of the year next year. So it's not too burdensome of a thing. It's you can look at your water system, identify the risks, the mitigation of those risks, and then put together an emergency response plan. And that's all kept, you know, confidential with the village, and it doesn't give a risk to the public. So those are, I'll be getting together a proposal. You know, I think Tim may have started that, but I don't think he submitted one in for you guys to look at and approve. But we'll get that in either for the next board meeting or the board meeting after. We should have plenty of time to get those done then. So those are the two key items. I don't think there's anything else. There's a lot of other things happening, but I'll leave it at that for now and entertain any questions if you have any.
Any questions for engineers at all on any projects we have?
Is there an estimate on when we'll hear back from the grant that we applied for?
You're talking about the rebuild in Illinois. So nothing's been determined yet. They're thinking by the end of the year.
Okay.
So that's the latest we've heard from the Regional Planning Commission, is that they're looking at the end of the year to get notification of status of those grants. I want to say there were 300 or 400 different grant applications, so it's taking them some time to get through them.
Any other questions? Wow, they're easy on you today.
Easy, yeah.
Wait till the next meeting.
Just wait. The first one's easy.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, if you don't have any more questions, I'll leave you to.
Perfect. Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Public Works. I really don't. Do we have any discussion on the fiber lines at all? I don't have any discussion. I'm putting a note in here to reach out to them.
The tap for Main Street in Calhoun is for this house.
Yeah,
we're the modular home here. Shows on our map that it's on the north side of the street, but they haven't been able to find it yet. So
I thought this is the one they. Isn't this the one they just worked on?
I think.
What were they doing?
They're working on one that may be the Calhoun one.
This is the Main Street one, at least. I don't know about the Calhoun one.
Okay, I think you're right. I think it's the Calhoun one. We went ahead and they were almost all the way to the where it needed to be anyway. We're going to have Precision Meter come in. Is that right?
Illinois Meter
come in and put the meter in. I went ahead just because we're a little shorthanded on Monday. I told them to go ahead and have that operator go ahead and dig it. End up costing us like $100 to have the operator go ahead and to dig the rest of it instead of it's that's cheaper than us breaking our equipment out.
Yeah.
And Woody trying to do it by himself. So there'll be like a, I don't know, it's like an hour and a half of his time. So figured that was cheap. So that's ready to go. The Calhoun one we didn't think we were going to get to for like 2 weeks. So they're really, really super happy because that's completely open. And I know Woodworth was getting a hold of the company that's going to come tap the meter for us. So that should be done this week. Main Street, I'm not sure
The Main Street, Bob Brown came by and looked at it today. I couldn't get here to.
Okay.
Yeah, today's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Today, so he has not gotten back with us, of course, and I couldn't get here to meet him. But he's supposed to give us a price on what, because we gotta get across the road, and it's already, they're already 12 foot deep, 10 foot deep, or something like that. So we're hoping too, Russell might know, because the house that was there was, had to have one.
Yeah.
But we just don't know where it's at. So.
Okay.
And the, where it shows on the print is not where, there's nothing there, so.
There was a discussion last night at the zoning board, kind of to build on that house, because they put a modular house in there. I think you brought it up at one of the board meetings too. So it was a long discussion about that, because it kind of slipped through.
Very interested in hearing about it.
Yeah, it kind of slipped through the cracks. It's covered in our zoning. And there's something about being put on a foundation. They're going to do some more research on it.
Yeah, from what I've seen, I couldn't find anything that
they found something, but it was kind of, you know, you got a trailer, you got a module, you got a prefab, and then you put something on a foundation. It was kind of an interesting discussion, because you had a couple of real estate agents in here talking about different ways of doing stuff. Mark ended up coming by the meeting yesterday. They're going to do some more digging. That house is not, it's too close to the line, property line. I think what they're going to have to do is go for the zoning board and get a permit, because we want to set a precedence that you got to do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the intention is to make them move that house. That would kind of suck for all parties involved, but they're working on a proposal to bring to our board. They should have it by. They continued their meeting.
Is it located where they show it at on the permit?
The permit just has an asterisk saying, "Follow." I don't know. I have to look at the thing. Just had an asterisk saying, "Do the proper
follow setbacks."
Follow setbacks or something. It was just an asterisk saying follow setbacks in the building things. The other issue that we're trying to fix is, the building ordinances that we have online are old. So Brandy's going to work on trying to get the building ordinance parts taken down. They're with the codifier. They're supposed to be put on with that. We have a PDF version of them. So tomorrow we're going to see if we can get that PDF version put up for now. That was supposed to be done a couple weeks ago, but it hasn't gotten done yet. But it'll get done tomorrow. I don't know if I can get the other one taken down, but we'll get the new ones, at least the PDF, put up on our website, the link to it. Then try to get a hold of codifiers again, see when they're going to have that all fixed. But regardless, the setbacks are pretty much the same on the old ones and the new ones.
I don't know if there's any difference.
No, I don't think there is. They did define the mobile home type thing a little bit more in there. But like I said, that one kind of slipped through, and I mean, I don't know how that happened. But the zoning and planning board was a discussion on that last night, and they were trying to figure out a way so that doesn't happen again. So,
good.
Just as a comment.
Oh yes, ma'am.
It's a very nice looking.
It does. It does look nice.
It's very nice, but it's not. It's a double wide, I'm sorry. And I didn't think that we were supposed to have double wides, but then I was told that it's on the foundation, so it's
I think their definition was it was a prefab, not a double wide, but I know, I think we're splitting hairs there a little bit.
So what's the hole they're digging out front?
That's where they're trying to find the sewage tap.
Well, I was out without a telephone or internet for about 5 days, and when I finally got people to come out, he said, this should be easy to fix. And I guess my line was cut. He said, where they were digging.
Huh.
So, no big deal. It's fixed. I just wondered what they were.
We didn't know. We didn't know the hitting, though.
Did they Julie?
Sure, they do lead, but they're how far down? You said they're 12 foot down looking for it.
They filled some of it back in.
Fun times. This is why we need good maps and where our sewer and water lines are.
And then the sidewalk, we're just waiting on a couple more quotes.
Okay. Perfect. And that's the, is that the mudjacking stuff?
I
saw several quotes in there for mudjacking.
I think this is the replacement ones.
Okay.
He had both in there, so.
Yeah.
Are they planning on doing that this winter, or are they just got a mark for next spring?
It's always, for stuff like that, it's good to do either like November-ish or wait till spring. Because right now, yeah, a lot of those contractors are very swamped right now, so we would get a triple the amount. So if you wait till November, they're not as much work, so they're willing to kind of like, yeah, come, we'll come do it just to keep them occupied.
Yeah. Did you get fixed? Maybe. Jamie Christmas. I don't use that movie. Perfect. Is that the new one? Awesome. Cool. So it's up there, and we have a link to it, right?
It is the link.
Perfect. Like it. Okay, that's fixed. One thing's fixed. Now if we can just get the codifier to take down the other part of it. So, anything else for public work? Can you think of?
Our leaf burner, which we don't want to use right now anyways. The Brad's got a clutch to repair just a little bit on. I think Matt's waiting for the part.
Okay.
Switch did it. Nothing new, just we don't want to use it right now anyways until those crops around there.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
One question about the Fisher ditch.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a lot of stuff going on. Correct me if I'm wrong, but did we discuss having some kind of agreement for them to sign?
We
off
do.
On
it's
that?
In there.
Oh, we do it. Okay.
It's in the board packet.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. It's
wait,
there was
which
two.
Which one
of
are
them.
You talking about?
The one out on
Benham.
Yeah. There's two agreements, and both of them are. One of them's
okay.
in there. The one that got I. Somehow we ended up with the unsigned copy. The signed copy is in the board packet.
Okay, and that's for out here.
One or the other. Both the agreements are signed now. You got the one for Benham, and then you've got the one giving them their giving that piece of property to them.
Okay.
The land swap thing. And I think. There was an email from Matt, and I can't remember. I think he's talked to Gary
mm-hmm.
about, and they've kind of got a game plan. So
yeah,
I don't remember the content of the email. I just remember that we had an email about it. And
Obviously, I didn't get all the way through the board packet. So
anything else for that stuff?
I don't think so.
Okay, on the police department, we keep discussing lowering the speed limit. We actually had. Did everybody have a chance to look at the ordinance that was in there? We actually have an ordinance that has the lowered speed limit in it.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
I just thought we.
It's actually been passed, but the problem with the ordinance, it talks about the 45 corridor.
It doesn't say 45 corridor. It
says business district.
Business district.
It says, what is it, highway? Public highway or something like that.
Yeah, it says. Any public highway within the village.
Oh, there it is.
And it describes business district.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Come on. Whoa. There it is. So, I guess my question to Mark, we've been talking about lowering speed limits and stuff. We already have an ordinance that's been on the books for quite some time with the speed limits in it that I wanted to lower them to anyway.
When did we pass that?
Did you find a date on it?
It doesn't have a date, it just says.
I know the board has talked about it off and on, and I know we kind of drafted something a while ago, but I don't remember us passing anything.
It's actually in the covenances too, it's on our website.
I'm saying I don't
remember passing it.
Having passed anything, but that doesn't mean I'm right.
Well, I guess we have some research to do.
I think you've got the your traffic study kind of in works.
It's in works, yeah.
It's in works, but and it could probably be brought to conclusion in a couple of months, I'm pretty confident.
Okay.
And then what you could still do is adopt that or reaffirm your
ordinance.
Your ordinance and put in a new ordinance that incorporates this traffic study, and then I think you've got your
crossed. We kind of need to like fix a little bit of the wording in it anyway, so.
Yeah.
Well, and if you have different areas of town where the speed limit might be different or something like that, you know, this is your chance to do it. But
yeah,
you know, if you've got one in place, you're saying, Mark, can we go ahead and put up signs?
Sure.
Okay.
If that's the question.
Yeah, we'll have to look and see if it was adopted. But
so
it
was passed September 17th, 1991.
Wow.
Well,
jeez.
How dare you?
That may have been on my watch, or may not have been. I mean, I think I started in 92, but my dad was doing it since like 1971 or something like that. So it would have been our office that did it.
I'm wondering why it was never enforced.
March 6th of 2018, Schedule 5 speed limits.
It's kind of...
March 6th of 2018?
Yeah.
The schedule, yeah. I see that.
Is that when we approved our codification of ordinance?
Actually, that's the snow routes.
Yeah.
No, it says
well, it's on your books right now, and I don't see a reason why you can't put up signs if that's what you want to do.
Okay. Well, it might be a good time to look at it, too, and revise a little bit of it to...
Do we know what roads we're thinking about?
Well, around the park, for sure. I mean, I don't mind reducing everything to 25 miles an hour. I mean, it's not really a big reduction in speed, but, you know, 30 is a little bit fast in residential. Then everybody would drive 30 if we reduced it to 25, so, instead of driving 35. So...
I was just wondering if something Mike could do is go around and start counting signs.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Let's see where we're at. And maybe that's why they didn't do it. They didn't want to pay for signs back then.
I need to correct myself. That is part A of the Schedule 4 speed limits. And that date that I referenced is specifically talking about Woodworth Drive to 45. No person shall drive any motor vehicle on Woodworth Drive as it extends from 45 to the village limits at a rate of speed in excess of 20 miles an hour.
And that one is posted.
Yeah, that is posted.
And that was passed 9/17/91. The part B that we are looking at doesn't actually have a date.
Under traffic code?
Under the Schedule 4
speed limits.
What schedule is that?
70-10 speed limits.
Yeah, it tells us what the prior code was, but it doesn't tell us anything else. Penalties seem to have been passed in 77.
$70 a minute.
keep looking at that. And I like what Mark said. Well, it's time to revisit that ordinance anyway, and we can rewrite it, add the traffic study, and kind of get a nice date in there.
Woodworth Drive one, if that's not a school zone, we can't go below 25. So that should be probably looked at when we're doing something.
Okay. I don't know what the reasoning was back then. Probably because it was a busy truck area.
Probably a truck area, and that's going to be a lot better on your roads, but...
Well, we reduced, didn't we reduce truck speed limit in town anyway to 20?
I don't think down 20, I think to 25.
To 25.
Who was it, 25?
I think it was 25. Because we can only go 20 around parks and schools and...
That's correct.
So...
All right. Next thing on the agenda is review the animal control ordinance.
Which I did not actually see in the board packet.
I don't see
it. And
I
thought we already did that.
I think that kind of just goes with the one below it.
Actually, I kind of skip right by you. Go ahead and present. You're here. Sorry, I apologize.
No, actually, as far as the animal control contract, at least I think that was done with for money issues. I don't know for sure. I know we're not made of money, but I would like to revisit this issue.
Have you talked to John? Was it you or John telling me that you're reaching out to the person that...
He was talked about that, but then he said there's some reliability issues.
Oh. Okay.
As far as response time and stuff like that.
Okay.
I don't know. I reached out to Animal Control. I haven't got any numbers back as far as what the village receives from impounding animals, cost, anything like that. I just wanted to bring it up for discussion, kind of throw my feelings out there. We are not trained to deal with animals. We don't have the equipment to properly transport them, at least in my mind. The other day, I've had a few calls on it, but there's a mastiff, giant dog, that if I were have to take possession of it, I'm not sure exactly how that would work. If I was able to get a catapult around its neck, and it didn't want to get into my squad car, I don't know what my options are, other than forcing it into the squad car with a catch ball around its neck. I mean, all our squad, other than fighting a dog to get it in there, then once I get it in there,
you get it out.
The back seat, tear everything up, do other things that animals have already done in the back of my squad car, which is not pleasant. But as far as the welfare of the animals, I think it is putting myself and officers in a spot where we don't have the options that maybe Animal Control does. Either we have an animal that goes along with the program, or we have an animal that gets aggressive, and then we don't have very many options.
I think the reason why we went away is because the price got pretty high.
I can understand.
And we only had a few animal calls the year that we were looking at, and it was thousands and thousands of dollars. So per animal call to that, had a lot more.
Because it went up like 40%.
Yeah, it went up
year.
A lot.
Right.
And then that's why the other communities went away from it too.
I can understand that, but I think if we look at the calls of service that other communities have compared to
what
I'm dealing with, I mean, just as far as actual calls. If I impound a dog, I have to get the dog, drive to Urbana, deal with that. It takes longer to take an animal up to Animal Control. I mean, not always, but it's about the same as like going to the jail. So while I'm doing that, I am not here in town to respond to calls. So then county has to come handle more calls that we're not handling. If we don't have somebody on duty, county has to come down, which I think Animal Control may come with them because of. I'm not 100% sure though. But it's just one of those things that we've had several. I mean, if I get a 100-pound pit bull, actually get it in my car, what's going to happen? What's going to happen trying to get it out? They normally have two or three animal control officers on duty at the same time. Not always, but they can handle what they're trained to handle. Or if I have to take somebody to jail and there's a dog in the vehicle, I can't do both. And they're not going to have somebody who's on call come out because I've tried that, and they won't send them because we don't have a contract. I mean, I know it's money.
Well, get us some numbers. I mean, we'll talk about it for sure.
I mean, I don't have those yet, but it's just more of a, I have dealt with more dog issues in the last year and a half than I have in the 20 years prior.
There's been a lot. And cats.
And, I mean, the catching, that's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
Me dealing with a 120-pound aggressive dog without the equipment or training leaves me either, I don't have a lot of options. If the dog gets aggressive and attacks me, I have to put the dog down. As opposed to somebody with training or maybe more help, they can get the dog caught and get it in the back of the van that is made to transport animals and get it to where it needs to go safely. I just don't want to see any animals or officers or people get hurt because we have somebody out there not knowing what they're doing. But that is just one to throw it out there for.
Are these residential animals that we're catching and taking and people are not claiming them, or are these like wild?
Oh, they're residential.
Yeah,
the cats are wild.
So you're talking about the dog for the mastiff, like, do these dogs not have tags? Like,
well, they, like that case was possibly neglect. I mean, the dog had food, the dog had water. It was just kind of an issue that was going on, and I would go there, big dog, not happy to see me. If I were to have to take that dog and impound it, I don't think that, and I don't know, maybe it was just growling and that would have been great, it would have hopped in my squad car, wouldn't have been an issue. But if I had to grab onto that dog because I had to take possession of it for its own safety, then I have to get it in the back of a Ford Explorer.
Right. Is this dog like roaming the streets?
No, this one was tied up at a house. It ended up the owner was admitted to the hospital, so he wasn't able to be there to take care of the dog because he's in the hospital. The neighbors were watching the dog. The dog was getting fed. The dog was not in any distress. It was okay. But until that was found out, I didn't know if I was going to have to take possession of the dog because it was abandoned or what was going on.
So why wouldn't animal control come out for that? Why do we have
to? We don't pay for it. We don't pay for that part of the contract. We pay for them to take our animals. We have to take them to them.
So if I call animal control and say, hey,
there's a police officer.
There's this dog that's been neglected, sitting outside. Owner hasn't been there in days. They're going to send a police officer and not somebody from animal control? Because we don't have a contract with them.
So we don't have a contract with them. Yeah.
They will only come for dog bites. They're vicious.
Yeah. And we had a contract with them for years.
Do we have that in writing somewhere?
That doesn't seem...
I mean, I'm just asking.
That's supposed to be legal.
Like
they have to investigate that.
Like when the Holts had their issue.
I know we
came
had
out
to fill out dog bite reports. But as far as responding...
Like when the Holts had their issue... With
that
the dog
just
attack,
sound right.
They came out and got that dog.
Because that was like, I think that was that before? Were we still, did we still have a contract?
No, we didn't have a contract, but they did come out and help us with that one.
Okay. Well, I mean, they have helped me when I had a deceased person and animals in the house.
Yeah.
But on the 90% of the other calls that we have to deal with, they don't send anybody because we don't have a contract. I mean, I'm just saying as far as, I guess when I look at the importance of my job, catching loose cats is down here.
If I remember right, I think we looked at having an independent contractor like on call because that was going to be
cheaper,
10 times cheaper.
Yeah,
I mean the number was asinine that they were going to for no more dogs than.
And I think the big issue is response time. Animal control is on the same radio frequency that I am. They're dispatched through MECHED. It's just as far as ease of things or calling somebody that's on call that may or may not respond. I mean, I know as far as the money wise and the calls that we have, but to me, it takes one call that goes bad, or one car that gets destroyed, or one person, me, getting eaten, that it is worth the money to pay for it. I mean, that's obviously my opinion, because I'm the one that's going to have to deal with it, but I have had zero training on how to deal with an aggressive dog. I basically know of one way to deal with it, and I don't want to do that. I don't know the proper way to use a catch pole to put it around its neck without choking it out. I don't know how to get it into a squad car without hurting it. And those are all things that I, as a person, and John as well, responding to these calls, has to do. And we, I mean, I don't know if that means we have somebody come in and train us on it, but, you know, I don't know what the answer is, and I know it.
Why don't you research both and get us numbers for both? And if it's a response problem, get us an example of why the other communities are having issues with the response thing. I mean,
so if a dog is caught by animal control, it goes to animal control and then the Humane Society?
Yeah, I think so.
I think if it's, again, like they have like 5 days or something, if it's not client, it's a certain amount of time before it would go there.
Disposed of.
I think a lot of them are put down, yeah. I don't know how the Humane Society gets their animals.
That just doesn't sound right to me. Is this just domesticated animals? Like, if we have like wild foxes or running through the streets, we're going to expect our police officer to grab the foxes?
But no, we're not the thing about it is a wild fox can run through the streets. No,
we
can't.
The only thing we're going to do is if it's rabid is shoot it.
But it can can run through the community, and we've had those calls before. It's now coyotes we've captured for a while, but we have an individual in town that's his sport. So that's why we haven't had coyote problems for a while. But yeah, you know, foxes and
I think animal control needs to find out.
Yeah.
You're welcome to go to the board, county board meeting, tell them they'd love to hear from
you. I mean, that's just
and it does there's a lot of things that don't that doesn't
everybody
make sense.
In the
yeah.
wrong situation.
Yeah. Because we pay taxes to the county, you would think that part of it, but they can't make their ends meet, so that's why they want to charge, I guess.
Don't they charge the, like, when my dog got loose and I captured it, they charged us $150 to come get my dog out of doggy jail.
And I'm not sure that I haven't got the numbers, but the village gets, if a dog is impounded in Tolono, we get a certain amount of that. I mean, obviously, unless we're out catching a lot of dogs, it's not going to cover the cost. But the village does get some money.
A portion of it. Anything else?
I think we did get the check for the camera grant finally, so that's like $1,183 or something along.
Yeah.
Bucks. And then the issues with sending Mr. Boland to PGI.
Yeah.
Basically, we did get the, it's nothing on his fault,
no.
Nothing we do. We basically got the criminal background fingerprint card done, mailed into the Illinois State Police, didn't get the results back in time.
Do we have them back yet?
No. I'm going to have them come in. I'm going to resubmit. I'm going to send it. I think everything I send from here on out is going to be registered or certified, so somebody has to sign for it. We've never had an issue like this before, as far as I know.
Everybody's having issues. For some odd reason, they cannot get anything done.
The lab's closed. You call and leave a message saying to send an email. Of course, you don't get a response from that, and so unfortunately, he wasn't able to attend this class. The January class is full. And I think that leaves the May one that they said there may, there's, I think we have a spot reserved. But it was just, I don't know. I can't blame ISP because I don't know if it got lost in the mail. You know, I don't, in the past, we have mailed them in. And had no issues, got the results, but COVID has made things a little more difficult. Keep doing what he's doing now. I mean, luckily he didn't you know, quit his other job. I mean, he'll keep doing that until we hopefully try again and get the results and we know. I mean, I'm not worried about his background. I know he's fine, but we have to have the results from the lab or from the Bureau of Identification with State Police to say that he is good.
So does it have to be a finger, a physical fingerprint card versus the digital ones?
It's the form for PTI, at least where it said fingerprint card. Criminal history, background, character check with a fingerprint card.
We submit ours digitally.
Because there are groups in town that do digital fingerprints.
But they're different. It goes through different avenues.
It all still goes to the state police.
Yeah, but it,
different ways of submitting it.
Different people look at it. I know. It can't all be the same. Make it easy.
Do you have any concerns that
I asked him. He said that he still is very interested. He wasn't obviously happy about the situation, and rightfully so. But he said he's still interested and still wants to do it. I hope that is the case months from now. Which brings up, which I don't know, Jared may know better than I do, that you have 6 months from, I think it says the initial, I got the paper in my office, but it says, however they word it, like from the start of full-time employment, or which he hasn't officially, I mean, he was given a pending offer, or this, so he hasn't officially been hired, so I don't know if we are, because basically they say you have 6 months. That from the time he's officially hired has to be in the academy. You can get an extension and get another 90 days added to that, but he hasn't officially been paid. He hasn't filled out the payroll, but he hasn't been hired, so I don't know.
Yeah, if we've not done any official hiring, like
I mean,
we haven't filled out a Form E, right?
What's that?
We haven't filled out a Form E, right?
No.
So that he's not.
So I think
he's not
okay
on our books,
on
so we're good.
Because if it was not within that 6 or 9 months, then we would not be able to hire him.
Yeah.
And which would be completely unfair for something that is not his fault.
Yeah.
But I think we're okay on that aspect. It's just I'm going to get a hold of him and try to get him in to redo it, get him sent in to where somebody has to sign for him, then we know it got there and somebody's actually going to deal with it. And I don't know how long it'll take to get the results back, but unfortunately, we have time.
Everybody else doing well?
Mm-hmm. Well, the Chrissy's still working on her. I think she's the what is advertised as 40 hours of online training is probably going to be longer than 40 hours because she said there is. You'll have one section that has a bunch of subsections, and then some of it is easy, and then some of it takes longer to get through, and I think it's not going to be just a straight 40 hours, but she's working on that. Got some other stuff that she's going to get. Once she gets that done, then we can start working on the other stuff, like she can come in here and we can get to, so she can be on the computers and the squad cars, get LEED certified, and the other things that we need to get done, but we really need to get her to get this done, but she's working on it, so hopefully she'll get that soon. Then we can work on other things that need to get done and hopefully get her out on the streets one of these days. Soon.
Right.
Anything else for the chief? Cool. Thank you, sir. All right. Bills. Any questions on the bills? All right. We just need a motion.
Motion to pay bills.
Do you have a question?
No, we just, the only thing we don't have is the sign-off sheet. Is that something, we're still good at passing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, we have a motion to pay bills as presented. I need a second.
Second.
Roll call.
Buffo?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
King?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stewart?
Yes.
We have one sewer credit for 702 East Walnut Street. There's a lot of documentation with it. You guys have made it through that.
file's different than that file.
So you need anything from us, Justin?
Okay. I thought it was in the wrong files.
Nothing. Since they're reading.
I just wanted to get that you still want the speed study to continue.
Yes, please.
Until we decide that.
If you have a chance, look at that ordinance, that old ordinance. Maybe we can go through and some of the wording needs maybe changed a little bit. See what you think.
I can do that.
Might be a good time to maybe put in that ordinance, put ordinance fines for the speeds, and then you have a choice whether you want to write an ordinance fine or an IBC.
I hope we have the fine amount more than what we did for the other ones.
Well, I mean, we'd get more regardless.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's, I think, what do we get, like $40?
State police gets the big portion of it.
How much were the credits?
$50 and $27.36.
And this other one's what, 23 or 20?
17.
17.
I'll make a motion to accept the sewer credit for 702 East Walnut Street with the note that this will be the last one because it needs to get fixed.
$17.68?
Yes.
I need a second.
Second.
Roll call.
Beppo?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Payne?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stuber?
This is on his second meter?
Yes, the outside one that goes to the machine shed. And
it shouldn't have sewer on it, though, should it? Yes.
Page 22.
Page 20. It's 22 pages.
It's 25 pages.
I guess I went down. I didn't count pages, though.
Yeah, there's not even silver on here.
Good catch.
Only water.
So then how are we giving a sewer credit for water?
We shouldn't be.
We shouldn't.
Catch hands in
what's it serve?
Huh?
What's the meter serving?
It serves his farm. He's got 2 meters in his basement. One goes outside, one stays in.
And according to the emails, he knows there's a leak on this.
Long. He does.
Have we been receiving the backflow test too? We need to enforce that, shut them off if we don't get them within a certain time.
10 of those, right? Have we gotten any of them?
We have a couple.
Well, let's maybe send a letter out by Friday.
Okay.
Saying we need this.
So I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will retract what I said. Where does it say second meter?
On page 22.
All the way to the end. Count three back. Go to the end and count three back.
Well, my next question is where does it say what page is this?
Bottom center of your screen.
See, mine doesn't have it. It just has the page numbers on the emails.
In the email, I gotcha.
you know what was decided about those trees?
What trees is that?
That wasn't an email. Look at the email that's highlighted.
There's two of them highlighted.
It was the one on September 30th. That's my reply back. It was a picture of the trees at the Presbyterian Church.
Yeah, there's no pictures for us to see.
Oh, well. Essentially, it's... there wasn't it big tree trunks? I can't remember. Maybe I have it. Still have that email.
No.
And my response is, if we can burn them, pick them up. If we can't, leave them there. Because it's... within our ordinance, we don't... we only pick up sticks instead of... But I don't know if that new fangled thing would burn those eventually. If it is, maybe we can pick up a little bigger stuff.
I'll just say this. If we pick up stumps from one...
we have to do it.
Everybody else is going to expect us
I
to pick
agree.
Up their stumps.
But that was my question. Can it do it? And can we get it? And if it can, and we can do it, then we can start picking them up from everybody.
It could probably do it, but it would be a longer burning process.
Plus, we could have to get all the dirt out first.
I mean, we can. I would say let's get through what we have now.
There's
something we could read. Look at it.
Yes, because I remember there's weeds in the picture.
So if you look now, there's quite a few pretty good-sized logs out there that they've pushed off to the side for now.
I'll wait on that one.
Yeah, I don't even know how long it would take to burn it. I mean, they're pretty solid. So, but some of those are so dry, they might burn pretty quick. All right, cool. All right, so no on the sewer credit, right?
Correct.
Is everybody in agreement with that? All right, regular session minutes, September 15th, 2020.
I'll make a motion to accept regular session minutes for September 15th.
One second.
And then there's...
Okay. All in favor?
Oh, I'm sorry, all in favor?
Any opposed?
Yeah. Well, everybody said aye. So let's see here. There's a water sewer rate thing that goes into effect.
Went into effect in September.
September 15th, so it'll be on this coming up billing cycle. And you guys said you wanted to revisit it before it actually went into effect. So that's why I put it on there.
So wait, it's not in the October 15th due bill?
No, because we bill a month behind. The bills we just got are for August 15th through September 15th.
So is there any discussion on this? Because it's going to automatically go into effect. No? All right. Now the next one, we can go to an executive session to talk about. I put it on here because we said we would revisit this and either do like the what we do around Christmas time every year or maybe talk about raises. So I put it on here so we can either go talk about it now or we can just put it in our minds that we're going to have to make a decision on that really, really quick. Well, we have about a month to make a decision. A lot of times we wait until the very last minute, and then they have to go back on payroll, and it's a pain. So I'd like that decision made a little bit earlier.
We can go in an executive session.
Okay.
Right now or at the end of the new business?
The end of new business.
At the end of new business. That's all right, the new business is the obligation bond. I need bigger letters
even with my glasses.
Like this.
I couldn't get the little things to go bigger. All right, so ordinance 2020-0-23.
This ordinance just rounds out and finishes up what we had talked about.
Yep.
The last meeting? Or two meetings
last
ago?
Last couple meetings ago, yeah.
Yeah. I'll make a motion to approve ordinance 2020-023, authorizing the issuance of general obligation refunding bonds, series 2020, principal amount not to exceed $4.3 million for the purpose of refinancing outstanding obligations of the village and paying for costs related.
Second.
Roll call.
Buffo?
Yes.
Harry?
Yes.
Hing?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stuber?
No.
Okay. Discussion approving the details regarding the November 3rd, 2020 holiday. So.
That's. Go ahead.
That's contested for
the IML. When the new law came out that November 3rd had to be a local holiday for government offices, the IML requested clarification on some of the wording in the statute, and they got no clarification, so they ended up filing suit to get the clarification, and as of right now it's still in court, and I think it's supposed to, they're supposed to have a hearing the end of this week or next week to figure out if municipalities have to abide by this.
So I've talked to several of our employees just to kind of pull them to see what they thought. I'm sorry, I got an itch. And it was kind of funny. They would love to have an extra day off. I mean, what employee doesn't want an extra day off? But most of them are like, eh, whatever. They ask if they go ahead and work it and then take it off at another time, which that's fine. I mean, I don't care. As long as you're not paying overtime for them to come in and work it. So, yeah, go ahead, Terrence. You were going to say something. I keep cutting you off.
I was under the impression that this was only a holiday for state employees.
That's what the litigation is trying to clarify.
But because of it, it's around the corner. We got to make a decision sooner than later.
Well, I love how our state government makes emergency rulemaking to add a holiday.
Yeah. I think the board's up your choice is to do nothing. Or to vote to make it a holiday, which you can, or you could vote to not make it a holiday unless there's a court ruling otherwise.
Is this just for Election Day?
Yes.
It's literally.
We get that?
Because I was looking at holidays on November 3rd, and it's Homemaker
and Sandwich Day.
Sandwich Day is
so that's why I was questioning what holiday it was.
Well, see, this is only a Illinois state holiday.
Yeah.
Because early voting, mail-in voting, absentee voting.
There's not enough
There's
options.
Not enough time for you not to be able to go vote in the 12 hours on November 3rd. So you need the whole day.
Plus, we even get an hour. You get an hour to go vote.
Yeah.
State employees do. I think you do, too.
So
it shall be deemed a legal school holiday, state university, civil service act, and other law designating a holiday. All government offices, with the exception of election authorities, shall be closed unless authorized to be used as a location for election day services or polling place.
I say we leave it alone, just leave it on the agenda, following the court date, see what happens. We got another meeting between now and November 3rd anyway, so.
Agreed.
Anything else? Cool. All right. We'll do that then. Just leave it on there. This is an interesting thing, too. I've had some calls about it. Since the new sign went up, apparently people have been reading the new sign. So I actually got an email
from an individual from Sodom. He's like, I've been using your recycling bin. Please don't write me a ticket. But he goes, can you charge me an out of town fee or something? He goes, I'd love to keep using it, but I'm not going to use it anymore. And he goes, it's an idea. I don't know how it would be hard to enforce, but they wanted to know if you could charge an out of town fee. And then in the discussion of that, when we were talking about that, it was brought up, what about just make a recycling fee? Whoever pays the recycling fee can use it. Whoever doesn't pay it can't use it.
That will mean that Brandy and Rena will be looking at the camera all the
exactly.
time.
Do you get a special sticker or something for your recycling? I don't know.
We'll have to use paint bins.
One of you guys have to sit in a kiosk all day.
I know, exactly. So, I mean,
Phantom told them.
So, I don't know what the answer to that is. I mean,
what do we pay? $1,500 a month?
Something like that.
$1,450 a month.
And I think his suggestion was $10 or $20 a month or something like that, 10 or 20 a month. And he's like, I'd be happy to pay that so I could use your recycling.
Per household, it's like $1.11
yeah.
a month for just 12 households.
Yeah.
So.
So, if they pay $10 a month to use our recycling. But, like I said, I don't know how you enforce it. I don't know how, you come in, you pay your fee.
The ones who are
going to
be honest
system.
Are going to come in and do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much how it goes.
Until somebody gets caught and gets a $200 ticket. So.
Maybe five.
Or $500 ticket.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's
so
on here.
If
we want to start charging a fee for out of town.
What's Brandy think? She's the one that's going to have to deal with it.
I mean, how are we going to get the information to these people? And, they're going to dump no matter if they want to or no matter if they paid or not.
I don't know.
I mean, the other day somebody dumped fluorescent light bulbs in there.
Why?
You have that on camera, right?
Yeah, but it was over the weekend, so we have a lot of coverage to go through.
Should be movement. Should do it on movement.
Yeah, but still, give me
a lot
of movement.
Those things fell up on the weekends.
And a bird flying by to set it off. A shadow.
We got a kitchen next door that runs by all the time, too.
So, it's just an idea out there.
I think we continue to think about it. This
okay.
one's
That'll work.
Interesting.
Jared, you rode around with PD. Anything on the
I
nuisance
I did.
Files?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Some nuisance files.
I don't know if
here.
I want to ask this question or not.
Yes, I did. And I rode around and looked at all these properties. And last time, Vicky had the question of, are these really the same? And 94% of these are the same. Of every single thing we've listed on here, there's been no change except for one property that could or could not be taken off. They just need a dumpster in front of their house and they'd be off the list. But
putting the dumpster there or filling the dumpster?
Filling the dumpster. but other than that, these are just, like Justin said, the same thing. Nothing has changed on these. The vehicles are still there. They haven't moved. We send them a letter. We send them a second letter. And then after that, it goes to Mark. So after that, in between there, nobody has actually physically spoken to anybody on this list.
You didn't do that?
No. People thought I was weird driving around my own car.
Well, you can use the office car.
There's a problem with that, too, because it still has police plates on it.
Yeah.
I know. I get the paperwork to change it. Took it over to the DMV, even, and they wouldn't let me do it because...
So I don't mind going, talking to these people on, especially some of these that are elderly and what we can do for them and that kind of thing. Just give me something that says Village of Toronto so these people don't think I'm crazy.
I got a laminator now. I
got one of these.
There you go.
Oh, he doesn't have one.
I don't have one of those. But I mean, there's some stuff that we can't. I mean, can't control, like the fire truck that's sitting in the side yard that has changed since 2018. I mean,
it had plates on it for a short time.
Well, he had has plates for it. I don't know if they're actually on or not.
But that doesn't make it operable.
No, it's still.
So, I mean, we can't tow these vehicles physically off the property because they're on private property.
You have to get a warrant.
However, I don't know if we could start a fine after the second notification that has not been, nothing has been taken care of after 30 days, 60 days, and after
we
that we charge per day.
We have fines in there, and that's why we have, we go to court with them, and we've done that on several properties now.
But, I mean,
I think he's saying rewrite the ordinance to where it's already in there. We don't have to take him to court. We just have to write
Mark.
So after 30 days, we talk to them. They get a letter. They have to come to the village office to whatever. 60 days, they don't respond. After 60 days, we start finding them every single day.
Can we do that, Mark? If we write the
yes
ordinance?
And no. You can have an ordinance that says that each day is a separate violation, and then you can say it's $100 per violation. But to enforce that, we ultimately have to go to court, and it's kind of like, it's a civil matter is what it is. And then the judge theoretically could say, oh yeah, it's been 100 days, and it's $100 a day. But I've not seen judges really enforce that, and then they'll come up with whatever fine they think is appropriate. If you have a flat fine and they voluntarily want to come in and pay it here at the village, we can collect it. If they don't, then we would have to go to court to do anything about it.
So what should we go moving forward, because to keep momentum on this? So you've sent them letters, so do we go to the next step and just start taking them all to court?
I think it's been so long since we communicated with some of these folks, it looks like. We probably need to do, I feel like another letter is in order, which
do we just do a
I
mark
hate,
letter?
Like a final, we really mean it this time.
Well, fine, do we do a, just skip to a, straight to a mark letter? Because they haven't been compliant on the village letters, and Mark's already sent them letters, so Mark can send them the final letter, say in 30 days, we'll file court.
I mean, even just some communication, verbal communication would be fantastic. I don't mind doing that, but some of these things have to change because they're pretty bad. I mean, I would not want to live next to some of these houses.
Do you, okay. And do you want to take the next 30 days and go and contact each one of these people?
That's fine. I don't.
And then we'll come revisit it on the first meeting of next month?
That's fine. If I can get the information of contact for these individuals.
We'll work with Justin. Some of them Justin will have to go with. Go with you.
And I think
on,
you're trying to frame it where you're saying,
probably
hey,
a couple
I'm
other
to keep this out of the hands
of
the village lawyer because we're ready
so,
to go the next step. But
then there are other ones he can do.
Absolutely.
So
he uses me as the bad guy, and I think that can
help. It's usually nice.
So, and
then
that way
I
starts
don't mind going to talk. I mean, Justin has better things to do with his day. Than
well, there's a couple of them that you're, but he's going to go with you. With
yeah,
you,
sure. No, that's fine. I'm not expecting to go up there and talk by myself. Yeah. But I did think it was very important that Justin did do a good job. He took pictures of all the nuisances that we have on here, and going forward, we need to take pictures of any nuisance, big or small. Mm-hmm. That way, we have something to compare it to.
A baseline.
Because I drove by, and all it says is overgrown grass and weeds. Well, that was in 2017. You know, what do I know it looked like then? How's it look like now? So just pictures like that would be fantastic of when that complaint comes in, or you know, whatever, however it is that he just drives by, takes a picture, and then sends it to me or whatever. But also, Rena sent something out too for a free metal scrapper, including appliances, where he'll actually come to your house and pick up your trash for free.
Yeah.
Or you can, there's charges for stuff like that. I would definitely want to put this out to all the residents, especially the people that are on this list.
It's already on to 101.
Maybe. I'm saying, we went on our Facebook page too.
If you go around, have a flyer that has, here's the contact for metal scrapping,
you know, this is...
But I mean, some of it's not metal. Some of it's just straight trash.
Yeah, it could be just a flyer with the general information saying...
He's looking for the metal.
Yeah. No, no, but I'm just saying, like...
There's a flyer in the works.
Yeah.
Okay.
But even if we... I don't know if this has been done before, but like a dumpster day where you want to clean out your thing, bring a couple dumpsters to the village, you pay... $25-$30 and throw whatever you want in there, and then
problem is the people on those lists aren't using it,
or they will
bring back,
take two loads in and come home with three.
I've physically witnessed that myself.
But I mean, it's just, I went around personally, drove around and looked at these properties. I rode with Justin. I looked at all the photos that we've had, previous and present. And some of these have not changed. I mean, but I would not want to live next to some of these properties. I mean, and I can see why, because you've got bugs, animals. I mean, who knows what that could be living in some of these things? That
cats. Mm-hmm.
Lots of cats.
I mean, I wouldn't want to be driving around looking for a new place to live and seeing this stuff in our town either. I mean,
true. We'll just put on the agenda for the first meeting of next month.
And then after that, we'll send letters. We'll have the ones that do nothing. We'll send letters out that month from Mark that gives him 30 days. And then we'll send them to Justin Brenner.
So. But like I said, I mean, as far as like the ones that have vehicles in the driveway with expired plates and doesn't look like they've been driven in 25 years. I mean,
yeah.
We can't tow them, but I'm sure we can issue a fine for that every... I know
we could do something.
If you're talking to them and they're amenable to getting rid of them, then you can help coordinate getting them towed if they're, you know, give you permission to tow them. And whether or not right now I don't think the metal price is justified taking a car, so... it might be that we think about subsidizing the cost of towing if they got permission. So we get permission, we're great. If we don't get permission, then we have to get permission from the judge, and then we can go on and get them towed that way.
Another complaint we've had is all the vehicles around downtown, again, on the railroad property and back that you've dealt with before.
That's the same issue.
I know.
I guess it depends, is in between the road and the railroad village property, or is that railroad property?
If it's railroad property, can we just contact the railroad and have them give us permission to just get rid of them?
Either way, if it's not theirs, they shouldn't have them there.
Yeah, because that's come up again, and you did a really good job several years ago where you went out and you went on a campaign of getting rid of vehicles through town, and you put a huge dent in them.
I mean, if it's village property, we could tag them. If they're not new, then we can tow them. But
I think even on railroad property, we could probably tag them too. We'll contact the railroad. We have a contact for the railroad. They keep sending me emails. So there's a grant that I kind of sent out to everybody too. Some notes on it that we get every year too. From the railroad, and it's like a $25,000 grant, but you have to match it with matching funds. Funds can come from us or somebody else, but it's for beautification around the railroads and roads and sewers, and I mean, there's a whole plethora of stuff that you can use it for, but
it has to be for publicly accessible land,
which pretty much the whole railroad track is accessible in this town. Runs through everybody's backyards.
No. The land in front of it
has
to be publicly accessible.
Everybody in town has to be able to use it.
So it's more like for parks and green spaces that are
maybe we'll just make some
municipality owned.
So, but if we can hit that really hard, that'd be nice.
But Rena did put pictures. She created a file along with Justin on the SharePoint where you can go look at all of the village nuisance pictures of all of these properties. as well, so if anybody would like to view those, I can. In your own time. Under picture, nuisance. Wait, Justin, what was the one that we were talking about that the weeds are like 30 feet tall? We didn't know if it was our...
Oh, that was on Main Street.
That's the one we talked about at the last meeting.
500
East Main?
I think it's more towards the back of the...
But that one really needs some attention, because that's...
That's the one we talked about at the last meeting, where we had dumped the dirt for them and they never regraded.
Yeah.
Nuisance picture stuff is on the Village Board team, one of the tabs.
So, I mean, what do we do with that? Because, I mean, that's awful. Because that's the property we're deciding if it's ours.
It's
that's
not
the
ours.
One where we dump the dirt.
Well, they asked for the dirt. We brought them dirt. We're not going to level it for them.
Right.
That's not the village's job to level that. If they... So... That's where it comes back to bite you when you try to help somebody out.
But I mean, they have to do something about it. It's on their property.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just... There's some weeds that are almost as tall as the tree. And it looks like they mow around it, but they won't mow that far.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can also get permission to go back on their property, I guess, and take the dirt back.
I wouldn't, because then you run other issues.
Yeah.
Then they say you take too much dirt, or you left rats in our yard.
So it's like they asked for it, we gave it to them. Now they want us to come.
And they want us to do it because the person that we gave them contact information for has not ever responded. But that's not on us. You can always find
someone
else.
There's a couple places here in town that do them. Stacy's, you got all kinds of them.
So that's my take on that.
Perfect. I like it that you're getting involved in that. Yes, ma'am?
Just as a comment, as a resident, there's always a lot of talk, and I'm glad you're doing this, but you've got to keep on it and not talk about it and let it lie.
Yeah.
I don't know how much Justin was a couple years ago, but there was a lot of cars that got taken care of. But I love you're doing this because as a resident or a non-resident coming into town looking for a place to live, there are places that I would drive by and say, do I really want to be in this town? Are they taking care of their town? So whatever you decide to do, keep on.
And that's part of the problem too. We keep on it really good and then we stop. And then we usually stop during the winter and then we'll get going on it again and then...
Like I told Justin, I mean, I don't mind driving around, but I mean, some people came and looked, you know, while I was staring at this property, they came with their golf cart and looked at me like, why is this guy sitting outside this property? You know, thought I was kind of weird just sitting there, and I'm sitting here looking at the list, and, you know, if I had something that said, you know,
I'll get your shirt ordered, and I'll make you a badge or like a name.
No, don't make him a badge. No,
I'm not
badge.
Saying like a police badge, like Village of Tolono trustee with the logo
whatever. It just says Village of Tolono. That's all that matters.
We do it. Yeah, we do have the dog catcher stuff. We put that on the police car.
I have the laminator
now.
You
should have a dog catcher too.
Hired.
Don't we have the sticky things?
Dog.
We could put them on that marker that's sitting
kitchen.
In there that the girls use.
No, but I just, if I'm going to do that, I just want people to know that I'm just not going
around. Some creep.
Yeah, looking at properties and...
They still may think
that. Yeah, they're probably
Perfect. I like it.
But we
I like
could,
it you're doing it.
We're kind of working on IDs. We could get an ID and we can get it to work.
I mean, ideally, everyone would have an ID anyway.
Do you have a little the thing that you can punch the lanyard hole in it?
Paper punch.
If a regular paper
lanyard
punch won't work, we don't have any. I don't have anything
to do with that. All right, cool. All right, anything else? So you want to go to this extra session real quick?
Real.
Yes, ma'am.
Can I ask, I don't want to lengthen this, but you
good.
Sent out a comment on what's going to be on the ballot as
mm-hmm.
far as
the cannabis
sales of
dispensary.
And I missed several of those meetings, and I showed that to my neighbor, and we were a little bit confused of what you were trying to say.
Okay.
So we voted back in,
April? Sometime during the winter when I wasn't here.
Was it February? We discussed the sale of cannabis, and we had a special meeting, and we got some input on it, but we didn't get a lot, so we felt that in order for us to make an informed decision, we would like the whole village to make the decision of whether they would like it or not. So if you would like to see the sales of cannabis, whether it be a dispensary or however, in the village of Tolono, then on the ballot you vote yes. If you do not want the sales of cannabis in the village of Tolono, then you vote no. But we already voted to, if it does, that we have a sales tax.
Exactly.
On that.
Which was 3%.
Yeah.
I got that part. I just couldn't tell whether there had been, you have it already set up.
Mm-hmm.
No.
All we have set up is the tax.
All we have is the tax.
If the village approves it, say, hey, yes, we want a dispensary, and if a business comes in and says we want to do a dispensary, and the villagers have agreed to it, then we can actually move forward on it.
However,
so what is the state of Illinois when you talk about dispensary?
Mm-hmm.
Is that like
recreational?
I understand.
Or medical?
That, but can the tavern sell it?
No, it'll have to be
a
dispensary. It'll have to. There's like all kinds of regulations. If you're doing a dispensary, if you go, as you're driving into Champaign, right across from, you can see the dispensary there. They have armed security outside. They have, I mean, it's like Fort Knox inside that place. I've not taken a tour of it. Some of the other people that I've worked with have actually taken a tour of the place, and they said it's pretty. I mean, like, you go in the little entryway and they scan your ID and there's all these checks, and then you go to another room and super, super secure. So
yeah, I've been in Colorado, so I know are, but I didn't take my ID the day they went in, so I sat out in the parking lot and watched all the people standing in line going in, but there is quite a to-do. But I guess I didn't know about the state of Illinois, whether you can sell it like a lottery ticket, or you have to have a building.
You have to have a building.
Yeah, it would be a separate building with its own entrance.
Those.
Yeah, and then, and plus, if it's not just like, okay, you guys approved it, a business came in, okay, we're going to approve it. There'll be some talk and discussion, and like in that email, I don't even know if I could do it or not, but maybe putting a public service or public safety fee onto their license, because they'd have to get a license from us to do it. Like, just like the bars. The bars get a state license, and then they also get a village license, and so there's more to that, and
I just wasn't quite sure what the village had set on.
All we passed was the tax. That's it.
All that's been done.
Yep.
And another thing that should be pointed out is what we have on the ballot is a non-binding referendum.
It's an opinion, so you
Correct.
Guys know where to go forward.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we don't have to. Because we're not
we're not bound by the votes, yay or nay. So even if people vote no, we're not bound not to. And if people vote yes, we're not bound to do it either.
Well, mouth here will spread the word because people ask because they know
absolutely.
I've been in the meetings and it's like, I'm not quite sure what he was trying to tell us.
Oh,
I didn't
sorry.
Get the 3% tax, but I thought
yeah.
maybe
I was trying to point out, like, one of the discussions too, and one of the people that talked to me, it's like, well, you guys didn't talk about this. I'm like, yeah, we did. We talked about it at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different meetings. And then we had a special meeting. I think you came to the special meeting, didn't you?
That was at that 5:30 meeting, and it only lasted a few minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And I did not come to that because I was kind of unclear what that was about because it was, I think, on a Thursday. And I did not come to that. But,
yes, it was Thursday.
I have been following it, and when I do talk to friends, people in the village, I share what I know.
And, I mean, there's good to it and there's bad to it. I mean, the major good thing would be tax dollars, but how many people are going to come to Tolono to get to a dispensary? I mean, it's, and there's bad to it too. I mean, there's, so we put it out to discussion
okay,
for
that's
the,
fine.
Everybody. But thanks for bringing that up, though.
I just want to clarify it, and if it goes out and anyone's listening on the web, maybe if they had a question, you clarified it too.
Perfect. And people are always welcome to email or call the village office. We'll get back to them. They're really good at explaining things in there. They've been signing a lot of people up for Rave that, like, people that don't have emails and stuff, they've signed them up for it.
But what's the difference? Is there anything on this Rave that is different than what I'm receiving? I don't know what Rave is.
Are you
it's
getting
the Tolono alert system. You sign up for it, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
You get the
that's
text messages.
This street will be closed because
mm-hmm.
we're so
exactly.
Yeah. Okay,
yep.
I get that stuff.
Perfect.
Right?
Any other questions?
I'm fine.
Thank you.
She's made a motion. I'll second.
Hey, we do have a couple spots open on the board if you want to run.
I know. I can count on people. And my friends say, but you're not in town that often. I said, yeah, I know.
Well, you're kind of on the board anyway.
Honorary. Yeah.
Well, I try to give you information that I gather.
We appreciate it.
From the neighborhood of people that ask me questions. Will you go to the meeting? And I have to say, I've tried to listen to it when it's live. It comes up and says, Village of Tolono. Board meeting right now, live now. But this young lady has to speak up a little bit more into that because I have an awful time listening to her. She's too soft. So.
Yeah, I don't want to get that close to Jared.
We'll get some XLR cables and extend these microphones.
Yeah. Actually, there might be enough to extend it.
Maybe someday we'll be back to.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so. Technically need a second.
A move to enter into executive session for the limited purposes of discussing the hiring, performance, compensation, and or employment of one or more village employees. Courtesy of 5 ILCS 122C1.
Second. All right.
Buffo.
Yes.
Perry.
Yes.
Ping.
Yes.
Robbins.
Yes.
Stuber.
Yes.
Jeez.